Thanks for the nice introduction. My name is Meng Xi. Good morning. So my presentation is about healthcare utilization changes in a Vietnamese community post-hurricane Katrina. Our founders and collaborators are listed on the slides. In 2014, the world was struck by 980 natural disasters. 119 of them had happened in the U.S. There is limited information about how disaster affects healthcare access, and existing studies typically facing four challenges. Most disaster resilience studies employ cross-sectional design, which lack pre-disaster measures. Most studies have a short-term follow-up, which cannot evaluate the sustainability recovery. Many studies ignore the marginalized population, for example, migrants. Many studies have either only qualitative or quantitative design, which limited the depth and width of the study. To fix the gap, my study applied a longitudinal research design pre and post-disaster using a mixed-method approach, including qualitative and quantitative components, focusing on the Vietnamese community in New Orleans East. So, how about disaster? Ten years ago, Katrina hit New Orleans. Flooding from Katrina was widespread and substantial in New Orleans. The map shows the estimated flood depths and extent in New Orleans in September 2005. New Orleans East was one of the most affected areas. New Orleans East is also the home of our target population. First generation working age Vietnamese Americans in New Orleans East. This map shows the ethnic composition of New Orleans East. The red dots represent the Vietnamese population. You can see from the census data that how concentrated this population in a small area in New Orleans. To identify and describe the barrier of receiving health care among Vietnamese Americans post-Katrina, we ask the following question. What is the impact of a disaster on health care seeking behaviors? How do health care seeking behaviors change post-disaster? What predicts changes in health seeking behavior post-disaster? The first wave of the qualitative study started 3 months before Katrina, followed by 2006, 2007, and 2010. In 2015, five stakeholders in the Vietnamese community were interviewed about disaster resilience in healthcare utilization. Also, a key information interview of 19 community leaders were conducted in 2008. The principal quantitative outcome is a measure of medical practitioner visit within the year preceding the interview. The main predictor includes socioeconomic background, health-related indicators, and culturalization, which include cultural preference and proficiency in language. For quantitative data, logit model and random effects model were applied using Stata 12 to control endogeneity that caused by the unobserved observation. For qualitative data, semantic component analysis, we use to explore the answer and provide suggestions for qualitative study using InVivo 10. So, what did we find? Visiting medical practitioner has an important improvement after Katrina in 2006, which followed by a dramatic drop in 2007. In 2010, the situation was significantly improved. The prevalence of visiting medical practitioner was even higher before Katrina. Putting aside time trend, worse physical health status, and the lack of health insurance had a negative impact on visiting medical practitioner. We then examined the impact of sex and language ability across years. In a single model, language is not a significant predictor. Same for sex. Except for 2005, then is just that much difference between female and male. But in a more complex model with the interaction effects between sex and language, we do find a difference in 2005 between Vietnamese-speaking men and Vietnamese-speaking women. Then, the sex gap just became insignificant since 2006 due to an increase and a decrease in health-seeking behavior in the Vietnamese-speaking male and Vietnamese-speaking female individually. So, what does this mean? After Katrina, free health care services were provided to meet the urgent needs of hurricane survivors while the area's infrastructure was destroyed. However, by 2007, these free health services were no longer widely provided. These changes increased the health care access in 2006 and then decreased in 2007. In 2008, a new clinical was established next to the community, which significantly improved the situation then. But what about the interaction effects? Why did the post-Katrina change did help Vietnamese-speaking men but hurt Vietnamese-speaking women? We don't have a scientific evidence to answer this question, but we collected our answer from a Vietnamese woman who is also a research coordinator in our group. So what happened to Vietnamese-speaking men? We suspected that the free health care services that provided after Katrina made it easier for Vietnamese-speaking men who had avoided seeking health care to get it. Second, the disaster and recovery work could increase the possibility of having injury and diseases among men. So how about the Vietnamese-speaking woman? After Katrina, the major public transportation in the city and the main hospital in New Orleans East were destroyed. These obstacles increased the difficulties of receiving routine physical health care services. Among our female participants, less than 10% of them drive by themselves, so which definitely created a barrier for them of receiving health care. But why the free health services after Katrina did not help female? The answer is, we don't know yet. It is probably that the female were really busy in taking care of their family members, or is it just by chance? So, just a summary about what we heard today. Disaster present both challenges and opportunities for delivering quality healthcare services to underserved population. The sudden withdrawal of short-term services can have negative impact. Gender moderates the association between language proficiency and health-seeking behavior. So, what is the next, and what are we going to do? Of course, we need more data. Our team just received funding from NIH to continue our study to examine the long-term consequence of Katrina in Vietnamese American and comparing the results with other ethnic groups. We will collect another round of qualitative and quantitative data in early next year, and we are also planning to further analyze the data that we have already collected. Here, I want to thank for my advisor, Dr. Volanihan, and another student, Aiko Kaji, in our program. And I also see Hongyun sitting there, and she also worked in this project, I think, 5 years ago. It's been a long time. Yes. Yeah, thanks for coming. And so this is our data collection plan, and we're going to have our next round data next year. Thank you so much for your attention. I'd like to hear your suggestions and also your answer for our unsolved questions. Thank you. So any questions, suggestions, please.
Did the Vietnamese stay in New Orleans rather than leave and migrate out like a lot of the other groups that were severely impacted by the hurricane?
Like, as what I know, like, that's like, so back to 1917s because of the Vietnam War. And Vietnamese like moved to New Orleans because of like, they prefer the weather there. And I think that's just the place they prefer. And I know like there are some Vietnamese moved to other areas like Texas and other places, but I'm not sure the exact situation there. Yeah, please.
I'm from the Panhandle, so I'm aware of a huge amount of the Vietnamese population moving out of that area, but possibly coming back after Katrina. Did that affect your study population at all, or did you look at that at all when you were doing your research?
Like, honestly, like, after Katrina, like, there are lots of Vietnamese moved to other places, but unexpected, most of them come back. And that's like the best thing about for our question. And I'm not sure if I answer your question.
Well, I was just curious if that affected any form of your research when you're dealing with getting pre and post data, because possibly, I'm not as familiar with the study, but if a Vietnamese population came back,
yeah, thanks for your question. Like, we do lots of participants in the next year. So our first round, we had 128 participants. So the next year, we lost 40 of them. And we are just keep losing of them. But luckily, in 2010, we got some back. And we hopefully, we can track most of them. And so for our study, we try to track all of the participants. We try to contact them by calling or talk with our relatives, so to ensure the accuracy of our study. You're welcome. Any other questions? Hold in place. Yeah.
And how do you look at the difference between men and women with regard to reading for seeking healthcare? Is that more for example, for men, is that more for interrelated healthcare needs? And for women, is it for something else? How do you look at whether there are differences on the reason to go to the
Yeah, you know, that's the things like we really don't know right now. And I think that's what we're going to do for the next round of data collection. But thanks for the suggestion. You're welcome. Any other suggestions and recommendations? Yeah. Thank you so much.